It's Morning Edition on Boise State Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm George Prentice. With all of the stories about the dire straits of the agriculture, tech, and financial industries, we are reminded that tourism is a huge economic engine in Idaho, and tourism has been hit pretty hard by the pandemic. So we're going to talk a bit about that with the man in charge at one of Idaho's highest-profile destinations for meetings and conventions. He is Pat Rice, Executive Director of the Boise Center, and he joins us live this morning via Zoom. Pat, good morning.
Good morning.
First off, can you give us a sense of how devastating the pandemic has been for the Boise Center?
It has definitely changed our world. For us, we had our last event the middle of March. In fact, we had a convention with attendees from Oregon and Washington, as well as other surrounding states. But those were the two key ones because the governors, particularly the governor of Washington, immediately put travel restrictions in, and these people had to literally stop meeting midstream.
Wow.
So they left. We have not had an event in the building short of last week. We finally had two small events. One was our regular board meeting for the district, and the other was the DBA board meeting. We were actually on pace. It's a little frustrating because we were on pace at the end of February to have a record year. The rest of the entire year was booked, and we were on pace to have a record year. And the last 2 years have been record years as well. So again, the pace was exceptional. Obviously that changed drastically.
I want to take note of your reopening plan, your clean and safe reopening plan. By my count, I think it's 13 pages. It is impressively detailed. I guess once I read them, they are so obvious, but quite frankly, I have not seen them in other reopening plans. For instance, under cleaning procedures, the building's HVAC system will be set to have a negative air pressure in all areas where possible to reduce the recirculation of airflow, and that the HVAC system will purge air nightly from the building and bring in fresh air overnight.
The protocols are very important in making sure that our clients and our team is safe. The team is required to wear masks at all times when they're around people, gloves when appropriate for the job that they're doing. But anyway, as far as the protocols go, the one that's mandatory that is non-negotiable in our contracts now, we invested in three thermal imaging cameras. They're not cheap. But well worth the investment to protect our clients and our staff. So everyone who enters the building, even currently, has to be temp checked through the thermal imaging camera. We also have a dozen portable thermometers that we use when we have guests come in that are sort of off hours from our thermal imaging camera entrance. And that's going to be required moving forward for the foreseeable future. So if people are not comfortable with that, then we ask them not to come to an event.
Wow.
And it's up to the client to be responsible for those individuals. If somebody temps hot, we have a cooling room, where a private room where people can go. So again, we've got the protocols set up there. That first stage of defense, you might say, not one protocol is ideal. It's the combination of the temperature checks, the cleanliness standards, people taking personal responsibility.
Are you communicating with event or convention planners, medium size or possibly even larger size, about bookings in the future?
Oh, daily. We actually have a convention the first week of August that is committed to continue to be being here.
About what size?
It's 400 people.
Okay. Well, that would require at least stage four, yes?
Potentially. However, we've also been, because of our size, because of the expansion, we've been able to do their room sets to minimize down to 50 people per set, so that they are, it's all socially distant or physically distanced.
Wow.
All the protocols are in place, and there's not more than 50 people in a space, in a given area at any, you know, no more than that at any one time. So, if stage four moves, and depending on, again, the local authorities versus the state authorities, you know, are we going to be held to 250? Are we going to, or is it going to be you know, discretion used if space matters. And that's been candidly my frustration since this all started, that the numbers have been sort of arbitrary. And in this case, the amount of square footage a facility has definitely matters. And I think that that's been ignored, quite honestly.
Could you book a number of conventions that are waiting in the wings if you were capped at 250?
250 is a tough number for us because most conventions actually are, and particularly those that we've been marketing to over the years, you know, have increased over 500-600, even up to 1200. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, yes, absolutely. We'll market to whoever is interested in coming to Boise and the Treasure Valley. So,
but what I'm hearing you say is that the lion's share, though, are 500 plus, yes?
400 and up is okay. Really the ideal. We can do two conventions of 400 at the same time. The majority of conventions now have moved into late fall this year, or actually into 2021. The local groups want to meet, and those, the 250 is a pretty reasonable number. And again, because of our size, we can have 250 in one ballroom and 250 across in East, and do and use technology to show the event.
When you say local groups, are you talking about associations, clubs, reunions, things like that?
All of those. Most of the major fundraisers are held here, mm-hmm. Because of our size. So again, several fundraisers still want to be here, but again, the local associations, exactly, the, you know, wedding receptions, that sort of thing. Although we don't do a lot of wedding receptions, but there are a couple that are looking. So
I know it's way down the road. Well, actually, it's not too far down the road, but more than a few of us attend the Festival of Trees.
You know, we're actually very excited. We've had the opportunity to have a couple of meetings with representatives from Festival of Trees. The start of the conversation was, gee, not sure what it's going to look like. And, you know, we've been focusing on what we can do, not what we can't. And that's the exciting part of the team that works here. The team is very focused on solutions. One of the things I'll throw out is, you know, when you have a big event that's traditionally a gala-based dinner, you know, what about changing it up, doing a holiday stroll and using both buildings rather than one building? And, you know, that will definitely allow for the physical distancing. We can do satellite food and beverage stations, again, following all the appropriate protocols.
And tens of thousands of us, we just put it on our calendar. And it's just such a high profile general public event.
It's one of the most iconic events in the city, and that's certainly not making light of any other event, because mm-hmm. you know, we've been fortunate to have some pretty phenomenal things happen here, and we're very proud of the fact that we're hopefully a good solid community neighbor. We're very proud of that, but again, Festival of Trees is just iconic, and we'd really like to do what we can to ensure its continuity.
Pat, best of luck to you. Stay safe, stay well. And we look forward to talking to you down the road.
George, thank you very much for the time, and best wishes to you and your family.